despite the fact that many misjudge me because it makes a living from writing raps. Put it together.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Eschoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer who don't believe in anything?
Welcome back, hour two in the zone, and it's time. Edward, good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Doing?
Good. I appreciate you turning me on to this song, too. I'd never heard it before until you told me you should have this in your open.
A great one.
It is a great
album.
Song.
It's makes, a great artist.
It makes me want to fight somebody, but in a good way.
And it gets you pumped up for the weekend.
It does.
That's the most important thing.
It does, because if you don't bring your A game, you're not going to be able to beat Louisiana Monroe, man.
I think Arkansas will need, it doesn't even need a B game. I think it'll be fine.
Well, you know, we actually called John L. Smith out last week. He gave the coach speak, and I had to call him out on it. He said, we'll have to play our best game to win. No, you won't. You're playing Jacksonville State. You can play terrible, and you're going to beat them. And they didn't play that good, and they had three unforced errors and fumbles and still won the game convincingly and comfortably. So don't give me that crap. Let's start with Arkansas. And Chris Gregg, a lot of hype coming in, and appropriately so, more than up to the task, named the John Mackey tight end of the week this week. How would you assess his and the other offensive performers for Arkansas in week one?
It was everything that I kind of expected. I will say that I didn't think Brandon Mitchell would have the kind of impact he did early.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be kind of a progression through the season, but he looked lights out. And that's just another weapon that Tyler Wilson has. And, you know, I wrote today in our picks column that Arkansas is just greedy when it comes to offense, scoring points and putting up yards. And, you know, Gregg, I thought he was the best tight end in the SEC, and he just proved it more. The opponent wasn't that great, but still, I mean, to get off that hot, to play that well on offense, I mean, we hear coaches say all the time, it's always the offense that's behind the defense until the season starts. And I thought Arkansas and Tennessee probably had the most impressive offenses, and Alabama
mm-hmm.
throughout the entire league. And nothing really surprising on the offensive side from Arkansas. Tyler Wilson set another record at Arkansas. You know, Nile Davis, a little rusty, but that was to be expected. I think he has a big game this weekend. So status quo on offense for Arkansas.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because there were really only concerns that came out. The defense did not perform up to the standards, and there may be some personnel movement from a defensive back standpoint specifically. But also the run game. I mean, and whether it was the offensive line or people thought maybe Nile wasn't quite all the way back. But there were some concerns coming out of there. What'd you see?
You know, I think when it comes to Nile, I mean, not having a lot of contact at all, waiting that long before he – really took a hit with something that was going to be a concern. I didn't think that he was going to rush for 150 yards, have a couple touchdowns. I thought, you know, around 100 yards, kind of like Marcus Lattimore is what we would see. Obviously, he didn't get to that, but I don't think that it's any cause for concern when it comes to him. He's rusty. Everybody's kind of rusty. The fact that he hasn't played since more than a year. I mean, his last touches came in 2010, or came in that Sugar Bowl, which was in 2011, but you know, it's been a while for him. So I think that he's shaking that off. He'll be fine. Defensively, it's funny. The first half, you saw a lot of bend, especially in that secondary. But I think they only gave up 322 yards, and the top 15 teams averaged giving up 323. So a lot of adjustments made in the second half. I think that's something that they can build off of. And I talked to Tenarius Wright, and he said that, you know, the defense was upset, but he was kind of happy to see the way that they responded after, you know, having kind of a rough first half. And he thinks that that's only going to help them from here on out. Not a major test, but this is definitely a weekend where you can tweak some things and make sure that you're going in the right direction before the mammoth game when Alabama comes to town.
Yeah, Arkansas eighth, I think, in the league after week one, and that includes Texas A&M, which had a great first week. They gave up no yards. Very impressive defensively. So let's talk about that. We do have, and this is great, man. And I don't know if you feel like this. I'm sure you do, as a guy who writes about the SEC. But it's week two, and we've already got some premier SEC matchups. And it's not just the fact that you got the new teams coming in, and they want to try to showcase that. But you also have a really intriguing game in week two, which is huge for Auburn after losing to Clemson, playing against Mississippi State. So let's talk about the three games, the two involving the newcomers, and then the one with Mississippi State and Auburn.
You know, I think that Mississippi State-Auburn game is extremely important for both teams. Last year, Mississippi State loses that game, a heartbreaker, literally an inch away from tying it up, and they drop that one. You see the momentum shift mentally for them. Obviously, some injuries kind of hurt them as well. But, you know, Dan Mullen said, yeah, it really hurt their team. Their psyche was shaken. This was a team that people thought could win 9 games again, maybe even 10 last year, and obviously they didn't come close to that. I think it's the same thing. You know, this is a team that we think can, you know, move on up and compete with the Big Three in some form or fashion. If they're going to do that, Dan Mullen has to beat Auburn. His first win against an SEC West opponent, not named Ole Miss. I think for Auburn, it's just as big. Starting on an 0-2 hole is not good. I know we saw Georgia run the table afterward last year, but I just don't think Auburn can do that. I still think they're young and inexperienced across the board. Be able to do that, and if they lose this game, they're behind in the West race, and then it hurts them when it comes to bowls later, because this is a tough schedule for them, mm-hmm. and they're going to need some luck down the stretch. But I do think you'll see improvements from them.
Okay,
as far as Florida and I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say just keep me on track. I asked you a huge question there to start with, but yeah, to go to that. The thing about, let's start with that A&M game. We don't really know because you got a new coach, new quarterback, a lot of question marks there. Although there is some talent there, certainly offensive line, receiver. I think we talked a little bit about that last week. And they're a 1.5-point favorite. I'm not shocked by that, I guess, but I wasn't really sure what to expect from the odds makers on this one with the way Florida played in week one.
Yeah, I think that the fact that Florida's offense was just so bad outside of the running game, you know, this is their first game at home, first game of the season, first SEC game. I think the atmosphere is going to be electric. But I do think Florida's playbook is going to open up more on both sides. Not a lot of exotic defensive formations, not a lot of blitzes. They didn't really put a lot of pressure on the quarterback last week. I think that changes. I think they put a ton of heat on Johnny Manziel, make him throw the ball. I think Florida's secondary is good enough to be able to stop those two receivers. The Marcus Roberson-Ryan Swope matchup is extremely fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to come down to the line play for A&M. I mean, they're playing a tough defensive line. They have a great offensive line up front, 92 career starts. Among those five guys. So I think that's going to be really important, protecting Manziel, making sure they can run the ball with Christian Michael. We've seen this Florida defense have a lot of bend up front when it comes to running the ball, especially against premier runners. So that's going to be important for them. But, you know, as far as Florida's offense, they do benefit from playing a very young, very inexperienced secondary. But having Steven Dixon back is going to help them, and having Albert Matthews back is going to help them. So it's going to be tough up front for Florida's line. I don't see a lot of points in this one. I said 23-17 Florida. It might not even get to that. It really depends on what those two quarterbacks do.
And then for the other one, I saw that, one of the dumbest moves of all time. There was a player from Missouri, I think it was a defensive player, who said he was watching the Georgia game in week one and turned it off. Richardson, I guess it is, said Sheldon Richardson, said he basically said he doesn't take him seriously. I think the quote, he says, it's like watching Big Ten football. It's old man football. If we execute, nobody in this league can touch us, period. Didn't say, I think we'll have a shot every week. He said, nobody can touch us. What?
You know, Gary Pinkel was not happy about it. But
yeah.
From my standpoint, I love hearing these guys being frustrated about hearing about the SEC. I mean, TJ Moe, obviously, let people know that he's frustrated and tired of hearing about how great the SEC is, and they want some respect. But, you know, Gary Pinkel said it perfectly. You can talk all you want, but you have to earn it on the field, and this is a great chance for him. I don't think Georgia is so much old man football, but like every team in the SEC in opening week, there's going to be some rust there. There's going to be some guys who, you know, don't come fully out of the gate. I think that their defense, kind of like Florida's, was a little disinterested in the first week, but this is going to be a good one. I think this one has a chance to get some points on the board, especially if Alec Ogletree and Bakari Rambo aren't in the lineup for Georgia's defense. We saw that secondary struggle. Is Malcolm Mitchell going to come back from his ankle injury? But I do think Georgia does have the advantage on the defensive line. Kind of a banged up Missouri line with Miners out or questionable, and Travis Ruth out. So those are your two starting guards from the beginning of the year that won't be playing against a pretty good defensive front there at Georgia. And obviously, Jarvis Jones is going to be all over James Franklin. So I think it's a fun one. I do think Georgia pulls it out, but it wouldn't shock me if Missouri beat Georgia, and then everybody's going to be looking at Missouri a totally different way.
There is no doubt, and those two are definitely two programs fighting for respect in A&M and Missouri, right here and everywhere else, I guess, in SEC country, because I'll be honest, and I'm sure you've heard it some too, people do not take these teams seriously, and simply because they haven't looked at what they've done on the field. I don't think they realize that there's good talent in both these schools. They just look at the fact that they never played in the SEC, and so they can't possibly be good. That's kind of been the thought process. It amazes me.
Yeah, and Gary Pinkel said, you're going to hear it. You know, get used to it. I think that's what upset him about Sheldon coming out and saying, no one can touch us. It's Big Ten football, which, hey, being in the SEC, you know, that's a major no-no. You do not compare the SEC to the Big Ten.
That's true.
The respect meter there from the SEC side, you know, isn't too great. So to call him that, I think that's going to energize that Georgia team, if nothing else.
No, you're better off talking about someone's mama than comparing them to Big Ten football. That is no good at all. What about so speaking of beatable, unbeatable, and Nick Saban, we're going to hear a clip from him coming up, and I'm sure you've seen this already. He's all mad at the reporters in Tuscaloosa getting his kids' heads all filled up with they can't be beat. Can they be beat? Yeah. What do you think?
You know, I know it's the first game. I know that this was a team that wanted to make a statement early, especially that defense, but it's going to be tough. I think that a great chance is next week with Arkansas's offense. I want to see what tweaks they make in the secondary. If there's anything that we were going to criticize about that team, it was how that secondary played. But, I mean, if you think about it, two big plays given up when the game is well out of hand, that's another aspect of it. I do think that Nick Saban is going to look back and say, you know, defensive back, that's what I look at. Those are the guys that I hit the most in practice. I think he's going to hit them even more going into that Arkansas game. But right now, the only two teams I can see, or the three teams I can see beating Alabama, Arkansas, LSU, and Alabama. So it's going to be really, really tough. And if they beat Arkansas, then I think that everybody is going to be looking up at LSU, and they go straight to that November 3rd game when they play in Baton Rouge against LSU, which could be another quarterfinal for the national championship.
Could be. Back here at home, it is a huge matchup next week. It will be, as long as everybody takes care of their business this weekend, the best matchup as far as ratings go, with number one Alabama coming to Fayetteville, and Arkansas will be eighth, or no worse than eighth, I would assume, if they play like we expect this weekend. Everybody gets excited. You know we all love ESPN. You know we all love the Game Day crew. We had them back, I guess it was a couple years ago now, when Tennessee came in and Darren McFadden clowned Tennessee. So, do you have any inside information for us? Any chance we'll get Game Day? And this will be, that would be 3 weeks in a row, though, of SEC games.
I do wonder if the SEC fatigue will take over. I haven't looked at the national slate very carefully, so I can't say what games are that week. I would hope that it would be in Fayetteville. I think that that's the game of the week, regardless of whoever else is playing. But I don't know. I don't make these decisions. I wish I did. But, hey, another game to look at. If Ole Miss beats UTEP and Texas wins this weekend, why not go to the Grove? Huge culture shock. People from Texas coming into the greatest tailgating area in the country.
This from an Oxford
right there
native,
in the Grove,
yes.
In Oxford. I think it'd be tempting. I think the Game Day crew would be pretty tempted to go there.
Well, after watching Ole Miss in person last week, I can say that will be the only game that will be relevant, because once they lose to Texas, they're probably not going to be in the conversation the rest of the year.
Number one in the SEC in total offense. They beat Arkansas by 1 yard. So there's a little more excitement in Oxford these days.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so how much – I think the number's 30.5 this weekend. And every let me tell you something. Everybody over there is thrilled about Hugh Freeze, and they ought to be. He's a great fit, and as you know, being a guy from that neighborhood, having a local guy, and everybody says, oh, that's my dream job. It is for him. That really is his dream job. I don't think they could do much better at this point, especially with what they've been through the last year or two, to get a guy of that quality who will die for that program. I mean, that's his deal. So I think that's going to be great for them long term.
Yeah, I think it does work out for him now. And he's done a great job recruiting, which is something.
Well, they're only going to win. Yeah, the young running backs look very good, and, of course, you get the sophomore wide receiver Moncrief, who's really good. So what do you expect to see from Arkansas this weekend? I think they're a 30.5-point favorite or so over ULM.
Well, I think that you'll see a little more offense. I think I have them scoring 51. on lowly UL Monroe. But I do think the defense is what's going to be important to watch. I think it's a little more aggressive up front. I think you see a lot more pressure on that quarterback. The secondary gets a little settled. And I think that they get past that 30.5. I think I had them winning 51-10. But I want to see the defense. I know the offense can score. I know that they can put up 500 yards at will. But I want to see this defense get more controlled, especially in the secondary, make some plays, make some game-changing plays in this one. And I want to see Nile. I want to see what he looks like in week two. I think if he still looks a little rusty, not so much concern, but maybe you say, all right, maybe we need to lighten his load, get those other guys involved as well. But, I mean, you look at 2010, he didn't start until a couple games into the season, then he just kind of went off. So maybe it's something where he just needs a few more reps here and there and it gets going.
Edward, we appreciate it. Big, big week next week. Hopefully everything goes smoothly this weekend with Alabama and Arkansas setting up, which, whether game day's there or not, it's going to be the biggest matchup in the country next week.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun to watch.
Has Nick Saban ever yelled at you? Like he yelled at the Tuscaloosa media?
He has gotten mad at me before, back when I covered Florida, and I asked him 2 weeks before the SEC championship about Florida and how they make sure that they don't overlook. I think they're playing some directional school, and he said, you're the only person that's asking that question in a week. Why don't you come back in a week and maybe I'll talk about it.
So, ooh.